Amen. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump right into this. Father Yah, we just glorify you as always, and we honor you just for your presence. And we just thank you for being the God of all gods in our lives. We know that you are the one true God, and we just praise you for that. We thank you for your Son. Indeed, he is the only begotten of the Father, full of honor and glory. First of all, because he glorifies you, and we just glorify him as the Son, and we thank you for him, his obedience to you, Father. And bless us to be just like him. In the name of our Savior, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. As we were dealing with some things, he just loved to wait till I start, and it's just like that's his cue. It's like when he hear my voice, it's like, okay, I hear his voice, and that means it means for me to go. And so as we look at this here, just as we look at these things and things that we're dealing with, hold on just a minute. And so as we look at these things, it'd be vitally important for us to learn these things and to understand again what Yah is doing in these last days and why he's doing them. There's just so much things that's been happening throughout the day. I've had a very busy day across all fronts of life, whether that's handling personal business, family business, project business. It's been a very busy day for me as far as that is concerned. But there are some things that, and like I said, just the things that I've been dealing with. And I'm just going to just kind of share with you some of our, some of my experiences just to kind of encourage you. I went to the DMV today, and when I got there, as soon as I walked up to the counter, it's like the power went off. and when the power went off, I was like, man, this is just throwing some things a little bit off and stuff like that. And so I left and stayed gone for a while because I had another meeting at Lincoln Funeral Home, and then I went to that meeting and was there in that one for a couple of hours, and then I left. I said, well, let me go back and try DMV again, and I get there, and power's back on, and so I go back to my original spot, and so there's this lady that's there, and I ask her, I said, could you tell the lady sitting beside you that I'm back, because she had told me, she said, well, when you come back with the documents that you need, I was converting the trailer information over. She said, when you come back with document information that you need, she said, just come straight up to the front. You'll have to wait in line again. So I was like, okay. So I tell her, I said, okay, could you get the lady's attention for me, please? And she gave me this look. And when she gave me the look and she turned to tell the lady, I mean, she rolled her eyes. And I mean, I was like, wow. And so when that happened, first thing Yah says, he said, okay. Well, let me back up. Because, I mean, all this got to be told. So when I get to the first time and get up to the counter. The power goes off. So when the power goes off, then there's this constable that comes in. Well, when she comes in, and so I'll say this, there are some people who have authority, but they can't handle the authority. And they have that position of authority, but since they don't know how to handle authority, they really abuse the authority that they have. And it's just a lot of drama associated with that. So she comes in, and instead of her just saying, okay, ladies and gentlemen, the power's off, and so, by our requirements, or, based upon our requirements of protocol, everyone has to go outside the building, and I apologize, you're going to have to get in line again, and I know you may have your spots and things like that now, but you're going to have to go outside and just kind of get in line, until we work this out. And so instead of her handling it that way, because she has the badge, because she has the authority, and she know that there are things that's bagging her, she come in there with a chip on her shoulder. Now, whatever is going on with this woman, she comes in and take it out all on us. We're just people in line trying to take care of our business, and go through just the protocol of taking care of our business. But because she come in there with some personal issues going on, then she approach us like all of us are bad people and we're in there trying to do something terrible in the place. And so when she says it, a couple of people they were looking at her like, man, this woman. And so I started encouraging the people, as we was going out, I said, yeah, it could have been handled. I don't try to hold the information in. So she was standing right there. I was like, yeah, okay, it's okay. But it could have been handled a little bit different, But I said, we're all grown. We're all adults. We're able to, to follow rules. And you don't have to come in like you just walked into a classroom. You're trying to get some three-year-olds straight. And so left there again, came back. Well, once I get back to show you this pattern. So once I get back, then I tell this lady that I had mentioned, okay, look, can you just tell the lady next to you that I'm back, And she rolls her eyes and tell the lady and then roll them back. And I mean, you could tell it was like when I asked her, you could have swore I had staff. You could have sworn I had stabbed. So from that perspective, she, I go up to the counter. The other ladies start to help me with my affairs for being there. And so right in between the time when the lady that looked at me that way was able to call somebody up there, I said, ma'am, I said, can I ask you a question? She looked up and she said, yeah. I said, I came here about a week or so ago. I said, and when I did, I said, you were giving out candy to your employees. I mean, to the employers. And the employees, she was giving out candy to all the ones that was there, sitting in the area where they were all handling everybody's affairs. And I said, ma'am, I said, you remember I'm the guy who you was giving out the kid. I said, can I have one? You were smiling. You was like, sure, you can have one and stuff like that. And I said, but ma'am, I said, when I asked you, could you get her attention? I said, you rolled your eyes and things like that. She said, I didn't even know I did that. She said, I'm sorry. I said, but now here's the encouraging part, because I could have, whatever, you catch somebody in the wrong, a lot of times you want to just pound them. And so what I said to her, I said, I knew something had to be going on with you, because the woman that gave me the candy, and then you today, I was like, something has to be going on with her personally in order for her to turn around and look at me the way that she did. So here you have a constable who's taking out something on all of us. We had nothing to deal with, to do with. Then you have this lady who do me the same way, and whatever's going on with her, I have nothing to do with. Now, when I said it to her and she apologized, then she said, you know what? She said, I have a really terrible headache. That's what she said. She said, I have a really terrible headache. She said, but I apologize to you for doing that. She said, you know, I just had a rough day. My head been pounding it all day. And that caused her to react the way that she did. Now, I said all that to say this. There is always a root cause for the reason why people act the way that they do. There's always a root cause, but where we make the mistake at is we have the tendency to get on a level, the same level as the people who got the issue, because she rolled her eyes. I could roll mine because the constable coming there with an attitude and talking to everybody like they kid, I could have turned around and started talking to her like she was one. To create all these frictions and things like that. And so one of the things that we have to understand, and I'm going to pull up the scriptures here. I think I'm quoting it right. Yeah. Let me see. Now, what Proverbs chapter 10, I'm gonna see if I'm gonna start. I'm gonna just deal with verse 19. Just for you to see my point here. Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now, in order to understand this verse, we have to understand how Yah operates. So we're just going to look at words and allow the scripture to interpret itself. It says, in the multitude. When you look at the word multitude, it says abundance. The word excellence is also associated with great, be increased, long, many, more in number. So when you look at the multitude, it's talking about a multitude, but at the same time, the multitude lets us know as many. So we'll say in the abundance, okay? In the abundance of word, there are wanted. Now, when you look at the word wanted, it says leave. Okay? There wanted not sin. So when you look at it, it says, be lacking an alley. In the multitude of word, there lacketh not sin. So it's saying, when we run our mouth a lot, sin is at the door. That's what it's really saying. So it says, in the multitude of word, there wanteth not sin. You look at the word there wanteth, it says cease, forsake, leave off, let alone, rest, be unoccupied. So in the multitude of words, it says there wanteth not sin. So it's letting you know the opposite of. The more we run our mouth, the more it is pointing us to sin. When we learn how to shut up, the Bible said, now you're wise. But the minute you're going to run in your mouth, you keep running your mouth, sin is working with you now. So in wisdom now, I looked at two women today. Both of those women come in there running their mouth. And it was letting me know. Now, what I mean by running their mouth, the woman who rolled her eyes, she was communicating, but she was doing way more looking or communicating with her eyes than she should have. Because there was no reason she had to roll her eyes at me. I'm just someone who's standing in line, following protocol from what the woman sitting next to me told me to do. But since the woman sitting next to me wasn't looking, I just kindly asked the woman who was closest to me, could she notify the woman that was next to her that I was back. But because there was something going on with her, her eyes was doing way more communicating than it should. And if I had paid attention to how instead of her just looking at the lady saying, okay, here's this guy right here trying to get your attention. She looks at me, rolled her eyes at me, and looked at me. I kid you not, if I was a swipe screen, she would wipe me clean out. I'd have been 4 or 5 pages over by the time she turned back. Because the way she looked, it's like she took everything off me, the skin and everything. She rolled her eyes so hard. But when she rolled her eyes from me to look at the woman, and let her know, then she rolled them back at me and then looked down. Now, if I had not been wise and came down to her class at that particular time, then I'm no more better off than what she is. If I had got down to the constable's level, then I would have been no different than what was going on with that constable. But because she got a little thought standing behind her, I got in some kind of encounter with her. Now everything's all out of hand, all because I got on her level. Remember, you change the environment. You don't let the environment change you. So my mindset was, why should I allow sinful mindsets to take me away from my righteous one? Why should I communicate with you at your level? And you think about that in life. Anytime you run into somebody that is always running their mouth, the scripture speaks of that type of person. In the multitude of word that wanteth not sin, the more a person talk, it lets you know what kind of lifestyle they live. It lets you know that they're sinful. It lets you know all they want to do is cause sinful things to take place. So I've been communicating with people on and off today that had issues going on that had sin attached to it. And I was like, look, I ain't participating. I'm not going to let your class now bring me down to your class because I am operating in righteousness. I am a wise man, and since I am wise, I know what the devil is doing. And the devil likes vessels. And the devil likes to work through people in order to get to your righteousness. Now, y'all forbid if we don't refrain our lips. There are times when wisdom said, shut up. Don't say nothing. You know the hardest argument I have ever seen is a person arguing with themselves. That's hard to do. After a while, they're gonna shut up. Because what they're gonna realize is that ain't nobody listening to me but me. You know what I'm saying? Misery love company. That woman was sitting at that desk with a headache, feeling miserable, and she was trying to make company every chance she got. I feel bad. Ain't nobody gonna feel good today. Now, I wonder how many fools, I said it for lack of a better way to put it, I wonder how many fools who got on the same level with her and left out feeling just as miserable as she did. I wonder how many people the constable today maybe arrested or gave a ticket for whatever reason, all because they responded to her the same way her mindset was. Y'all, wisdom says when they talk, you be quiet. in the multitudes of words, when I find somebody who's always running their mouth about foolishness, I got family members, every time you look around, they're about foolishness. That's all they do. I got people that so-called family members, all they do is this here all day long. You cannot be thinking about it. And guess what they're going to do? Because they know when they run their mouth, then somebody who is not operating in wisdom is going to get in that same vein of class that they are. Now you got a whole bunch of classless folks acting the fool. And I just refuse to get on that level. Whenever you see things going on, if you notice there have been incidents that's been happening, I get quiet on them. And I'll be sitting there. Things that happen even over my niece's house. If everybody paid attention to me, I was quiet. Wisdom said, don't say nothing. You a man of action. Let stuff get out of hand and then you say something with your action. And I never had to say anything with my action because wisdom said, don't run your mouth. People can't have an argument or a conversation with something that ain't communicating with them. Every environment that I've ever been in with family members, nothing went down. Because they knew a man was in the house that's by action. If you want to do this here, then we got something for that. But I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to show you. And when people get around those type of people, they have a tendency to watch what they say themselves. So go back to the lady. As soon as I addressed her in wisdom, she got in my class. Sir, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, not everybody you're going to be able to have that kind of conversation with. I wouldn't say that to just anybody. Notice, I didn't say nothing to the officer. Because wisdom showed me that her authority had her way strung out more than what she should have been. So if I had said, ma'am, it don't take all that, she would have escalated it even more because she was going to stand by her bad and not try to, you know, Use her position to put handcuffs on folks or whatever. I'm just using it as example. All because now she got an attitude for somebody, pooking them, her husband, whoever. Somebody made her mad. She come on the job and taking out on everybody that's in the room. Y'all, we got to learn how to operate kingdom. Remember the things that I said this past Sabbath service? I talked about carnal-minded. I talked about kingdom-minded. You have to make up your mind what you're going to be. Either you're going to be carnal-minded or you're going to be kingdom-minded. You want me to tell you what goes on with carnal-mindedness? Stress, anxiety, depression, all these different things go on in the mind. That is the gauge to let us know that we're not trusting Yah. But then people come to me with information and it's like water on a duck back. Why? Because I'll be like, I'm not coming down there. If you want to communicate with me, you got to come up here to the kingdom. You got to operate according to the kingdom. Let me just be plain. I'm not dealing with any of you who are not kingdom minded. That's what I tell these people. I don't want to have a conversation about it. I don't want to go into detail. I don't want any part of the information that doesn't have nothing to do with the kingdom of Yah. Because all that other stuff is carnality. Carnality kills. Oh, you think I'm kidding? I just said it in my word. Let me tell you. In Yah's word. Let's look at a few of these. I'm going to leave some of it up that talks about a merry heart. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says a merry heart. Let's look at what merry heart means. That's what the word merry. It says glad, joyful, rejoicing. Okay. A rejoicing heart. What is the heart now? The heart is it says lev. Feelings, Okay. Intellect. Keep going on. It says mind. If you keep going down, it says mind. Wisdom. So to make this simple, a glad mental state maketh a cheerful countenance. Now, when you look at the word countenance, we'll go down here where we can see the definition better. When you look at the word, When you look at the word countenance, it means face. I can look at you sometime and tell how your mind is by looking at your face, by looking at your demeanor. And so what it lets us know here is that it says face, it says there was one that I saw that I wanted to, it says face. Keep going, looking at some of these words. Presence, that's the one I was looking. Presence. What is the environment when your presence show up? Now both days are good. You know, I want somebody to pull a straw man fallacy on me and say, what are you saying? Rainy days are not good because it watered the grass and all this. When you show up, does the sun come out or does it start raining? Does it turn from being 80 degrees, just a nice, you know, pretty day? Does it drop down to 5 below 0 when you show up? Your mental state manifests in your face, and what goes on? The scripture warns us now. It says, 15 verse 13. It says again. I'm gonna go. Let me take this out. It says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart is the spirit broken. You want to go crazy? Let stuff get in your mind all the time that ain't supposed to be there. Keep coming down to the level of these wicked people and crazies waiting on you at the end of the road. So I'm telling you, Bible. So the same way. That's why I said that this kind of stuff will kill you. A merry heart, a happy mind, maketh a cheerful countenance. Y'all can tell when folks happy because they come through smiling, playing with everybody. And I can tell just as good when crazy been on you all day because you come and sit up in here and you looking crazy. I can see from your presence what's going on in your mind. But the scripture's letting you know when a sorrow of the heart, when you look at verse 13 and it says sorrow of the heart, sorrow, it says an owl, a pain or a wound. The scripture associate this sorrow from a perspective of, it says an owl, also a pain or a wound. Okay? So it's saying pain or wound of the heart, of the mind. Okay? But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The spirit is broken. Okay? So when you look at the spirit, now look at this now. It says the heart, which has to do with understanding, intellect, all these different things. But it says the spirit is broken. When you look at the spirit, it has to do, especially when you look at the spirit in its origin. When you talk about ruach, we're talking about the presence of Yah. Y'all say, I ain't gonna deal with you when your mind ain't right, and you operating in sorrow. Yah said, look, I can't hang out in that place. Now, we know that we have a spirit, but it's letting us know and to give us an understanding of how things work from a perspective of the mind. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but a sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. Y'all said when there's always things that's going on in your mind that have you sorrow, it starts to break you down. It starts to break us down. Verse 15 says, all the days, let me click out of this. It says all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. In other words, when you keep your mindset on kingdom things, you'll feast among those that, I'm going to say it this way. You look at verse 15, it says all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. When you look at all the days of the afflicted are evil, it depends on who perspective it is. There are evil things that happen to me. There are evil things that happen to you. But what Yah is saying is, when you know how to keep your mind stayed on kingdom things, you can feast when it's crazy. Yah said, I'll prepare a table before you in the midst of your enemy. But I can't prepare a table for you in the midst when you're too crazy to know that the table is there for you to sit at. Did y'all hear what I just said? Did y'all hear what I just said? Yah is wanting to prepare a table for each one of us in the presence of our enemy. In other words, Yah is saying to us, when you look at verse 15, he said, I don't care how crazy it gets, you will have a continual feast. They'll be the one in misery. Misery love company. It's just that you be having a party in the midst of that misery if you keep your mind on me. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. People are unhealthy because the unhealthiness is here in the mind. If the mind gets unhealthy, the physical body follows suit. If the mind is unhealthy, the physical body follows suit. I know people who have gone and had a checkup, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. I'd be like, yeah, it is. You can't check that mind up there. There's nothing wrong with them physically. I don't know why you're here. There's nothing wrong. You're saying all these things are going on with you, but there's nothing wrong with you physically because it is the mental state. Let me ask y'all a question and y'all be honest. How many of you have ever gotten angry at someone you really love? All of us? How did you feel when y'all was upset with one another? Had a headache, didn't you? Migraine. Head was pounding. But the minute that situation was remedied, the minute y'all got back on the same page, be honest, didn't the headache go away immediately? Immediately. Because the headache was as a result of what was going on with the mind. The mind was stressed. The mind was having anxiety. And before you know it, the pounding head there. A lot of things that going on with y'all headaches, it ain't because there's something wrong with you physically. It is because all the stuff that's going on in your mind, you're letting it pile up on top of it, one thing after another. And before you know it, you're sitting there with a migraine taking aspirin that's not going to help you. Because the problem ain't got nothing to do with your physical body. It got to do with what's going on in your mental state. Did you know that the hairs on your head have sensories? And there are times when I pull the piece of hair out of the top of my head, and I felt it in the middle of my back. Think I'm kidding, try it sometime. There have been times, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm like mama hated gray hair. You know, and so, you know, I ain't too fond of gray hair, you know. I guess I get it from mom. Mom, she'd be like, she just couldn't stand gray hair, you know. Hair was completely white, you know, before she died, but she just couldn't stand gray hair. And so, even to this day, you know, me being 56, you know, I got gray hair popping here and there and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, my face on the side is completely gray. And I don't know why the mustache and beard, you know, goatee, whatever they call it, the face black with a mixture of gray. But and so my hair is black, but I got a few little gravers in there. Sometimes I'll pluck one out. And when I pluck it out, I feel a sharp pain for a split second in my back. Let me know that piece of hair that I pulled out was connected to some nerve in my back. I said all this to say this. That's factual. Matter of fact, I can show you. That's why a lot of times when you go get some kind of therapy from a massage therapy and stuff like that, they will do things to your toes and you'll start feeling other areas of your upper body. You're feeling in your upper body. Because all those nerves are connected in one fashion or another. Now think about this. The area that has an effect on us the most is the mind. If the mind is out of whack, that may be the reason why your corn hurt. I'm just using that example.
That's true.
I'm telling you, it's not that you're in bad health. What's unhealthy is the mind. And we have to start with the mind. That's why I refuse. Anybody that know me well enough will tell you the minute folks start to mess with my mind, I'm getting as far away from them as I can. I don't care who it is. Mama, daddy, brother, sister, wife, kids. When they start to get to my mind, that my girls will tell you, they walk in there, ain't it right, Lana, you sit there, ain't it right, I'll be in the office doing something, want to relax my mind, you come in there and start communicating with me. How do I look at you? Look at her like you better go. Because right now, I am my mind is focused on relaxing, and you bringing me stuff I don't want. So right now, I'm looking at you as an enemy to my mental state. So you need to get, and she'll tell you, I'll sit there and look fine. She'll be like, well, Dad, all I was trying to do is just talk to you. What I said, I don't want to talk to you. Am I right? I don't want to talk to you because what you're talking about is not allowing my mind to heal. Because when my mind healed, then my whole body healed. But this junk you bringing me is now causing my mind to still stay in this polluted state. And I'm trying to get my mind out of all this pollution. And I mean, she's just holding basic conversation. But right now, that's pollution to me. So look here, baby. I don't want to deal with you right now. I don't want to talk about that right now. All I want to do is allow my mind to relax and keep my mind focused on things that is relaxing so that my body can heal. My neck is tight because my mind is crazy right now. I'm trying to get this stiffness out of my neck. And the only way to get this stiffness out of my neck is I need to relax my mind. Are y'all hearing me today? My back is tight. My shoulders are tight. My neck is tight. My arms are tight. My legs are tight. All these things are going. My lower back, all this stuff is tight. Well, go up there and slap all that junk out of your mind. That's just me saying as a kid friend. Slap all that stuff out of your mind. Your back going to loosen up. Your legs going to loosen up. All these things are going to leave you when you get the stress off the mind. Because your mind is your central nervous system that communicates with the rest of your body. And once your mind starts getting weary and out of whack, the rest of you going to follow suit. Thus, Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, keep your heart happy. How do you keep your heart happy? Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report, whatsoever is of the things of the kingdom, think on these things. Help me find it, Elvin. Yes?
I have a question. It may be weird, but how do you relax? How do you know, it seems like sometimes your body reacts to things and you not know that it's stressing you out, but mm-hmm. In reality it's stressing you out. How do you relax?
It's a decision. Mm-hmm. The scripture tells us, especially in the book of Joshua, he said, I sit before you life and death. You choose. So So to give you an example of how do you teach your body to relax, I couldn't say, why you rolling your eyes at me, woman? Now, I'm just as tense as she is. But I refuse to cooperate. That's what I meant when I said I refuse to come down to her class. I could have responded to the officer the same way. Why you coming here talking to us like kids? We ain't no kids. I'm a grown man. So you teach your body to do those things by making a decision and to think on the things that bring glory to the kingdom of Yah. And when you see all this stuff outside that's not doing that, the way that you bring your body into relaxation is say, I'm not going to let that, I'm not going to allow those things to get in me and cause me to be acting just like the people that's miserable behind this stuff. That's how you do it. Philippians 4 and 8. We'll go to Philippians 4 and 8 to show you this here. Philippians 4 verse 8. You want to keep the heart right was Proverbs 17:22. Philippians 4 and 8. We'll put them side by side and we'll stop here. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Do you know laughter releases? Now, you may have to help me with it if you know a little bit more about it. Laughter releases some type of things. I'm saying things for lack of a better way to name it. Laughter, and we can look it up online if we need to. But laughter releases something in our body that causes healing to take place in the body. Notice something. Have anybody ever? How can I put this where you can understand? Have you ever gone to the hospital to visit somebody who was really sick, and all of a sudden there were some things going on that made them start thinking about wonderful things, even as far as the past, when you start talking, man, remember when we used to do this and stuff like that, and you start talking about all these good things, and they start to laugh. If you watch the machines and things that they're on, you notice all the vowels start to improve. Because a merry heart causes the body to start healing itself. On the other hand, when you look at it, it says, but a broken spirit dried up the bones. The same way a merry heart is medicine, a broken spirit will take away the help that you have. You have here, you got bones with marrow in it and all these different things in it that, you know, that makes that bone healthy. But it says, but when a spirit is broken, it'll dry that up. It'll take its vitality away from it.
It releases endorphins.
Endorphins. Laughter releases endorphins. Does it have anything else that you want to read or you just want to say right there? It releases endorphins, which heals the body. Am I correct? Is that what it's basically? From what I'm understanding, so go ahead.
It reminds you when you go to a funeral and then people come stand up and say good things, and before you know it, everybody laughing, and it takes that crying and that hardness out your heart, and it makes you think about that person, all the good things that person done.
Exactly. That's exactly what it does, and so. So these things are vitally important here. And so, again, you look to the left of the screen. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. A mind that is on the things of kingdom, that stays happy, that stays positive, that mind will constantly be like a medicine to your body. You get up looking forward to the next day. You'd be excited. You'd be like, man, I feel so good. Oh, but go to bed weary. And watch when you wake up in the morning. Stiff as a board, look like somebody done crack you upside the head. You feel like you've been fighting with somebody all night long. And all along, that is something that has to do with what's been going on with the mental state. And so these things are vitally important. We have to understand that. So what do we do now? How do we do that? Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true, truthful. I ain't got time to listen to somebody talk about all these old lies and talk about, you know, how bad they are and all this here. Whatsoever things are truthful. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. I don't want all your bad information. It's killing you. Don't come kill me with it. If the information is destroying you, why would you want to give it to somebody you love? It's killing you. Whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Yah is saying through Paul, control your mind. Learn how to make it think the right thing. And when that negative stuff come to you, he said, man, just leave it right over there where it is. You know, I told a loved one today, I said, listen, I said, where my mindset is right now, talking to a cousin, I said, where my mindset is right now, I said, I don't want to have no dealings with anybody that is not about the things of the kingdom. I said, I love y'all, but I don't want nothing to do with any of you. If you're not about the things of the kingdom. If all you want to do is talk about all this drama that's been going on. I said, people have to understand that this individual that's causing all these problems is somebody who need and feed off of you responding to her so that she can be relevant. She has no importance other than what you make her. So if she posts something, if she writes something, if she says something, the ear or the eyes that's given to her is what make her feel validated. If you don't respond, in the story. Because she can't write to herself. She can't talk noise to herself. She'll get tired of her. So these things are vitally important. I don't know what my grandson is doing back there. So these things are vitally important for us to understand that in these last days, we're going to have to learn how to guard our heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4, and I'm closing. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, 23. Proverbs 4, 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You have to make an effort to do this. Bad things are waiting on you every day. Lord, man, if I sit down and cater to all the bad things that try to come to me, I'd be crazy by now. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it, out of your mind, are the issues of life. So if all the mind is feeding on is death, guess what it does to the body? It kills it. It kills it spiritually, and it eventually kills it physically. So you got to guard it, man. When these people start coming around you with all that negative information, say, look at him. Take that on to somebody who operated at your class. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to listen to it. I'm not going to get caught up into it. I'm not going to allow my mind to go in the path whereby your mindset is. I've been doing it all day long. Man, I had an opportunity to have a terrible day. But every time some information would come to me that was opposite of the kingdom, I'd be like, look, I ain't got to deal with that. I'll let you and your crazy go on. If you think that I'm going to allow you to get in my spirit, in my mind, to cause me to be as miserable as you feeling right now, I refuse. I'm not coming down to your class. You got to come up here to mine. And if I have to separate from you in order for that to take place, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. Last scripture. last scripture y'all just gave me is Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou, that's what Yah is speaking to us. He said, I'll do this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in thee. In order for me to have perfect peace, I always got to keep my trust in Yah. And when I keep my trust in Yah, when you keep your trust in Yah, it keeps your peace perfect. Perfect peace now. Perfect shalom. Where the word shalom come from? So when you hear shalom, it is saying, it is basically saying perfect, it says shalom. And also peace, it says shalom. So it says this in the true meaning. Perfect peace, he said, thou will keep him in shalom, shalom. Thou will keep him in peace, peace. Just put the word perfect there to keep from saying the same meaning. Thou will keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. My mind trusting Yah. Since I trust in Yah, I'm going to keep my focus on him. And when stuff starts to get crazy out there, I know where to go put my mind. Yah says, as I close, perfect peace. When you look at peace here, it says happy. Happy. A merry heart working like a medicine. Happy. When you're happy, that means you're peaceful. That means you have peace. Go back up now. Yah says, if you're not happy or you don't have peace, is it because your mind not on me? You on whatever your mind is. It's somewhere else. And because it's somewhere else, you now are speaking back to me as your God and say you don't trust me now. You don't have peace because you don't trust me now. Because if you trust me, I'll keep your mind. If you trust me, you keep your mind on me. You keep your mind on me, you'll have peace, peace. You have perfect peace. Man, I had to work hard today, but I did it. Take one day at a time. I had to work hard today because a whole bunch of people was trying to take my peace today. All day long, man, people trying to take my peace. But I had a really good day. I got a lot of stuff done. Why? Because my mind stayed on him. One thing after another. You know, before I got ready to come out here, about 30 minutes before I got ready to come out here, you know, I was having a phone conversation, and you know, the person was like, "Well, do you want to talk about it?" No, I don't want to talk about it. My mind is peaceful. I'm staying on him. I didn't say I wouldn't ever talk about it. I said I don't want to talk about it right now. My mind is stayed on him. That's where my mind is right now. It's been like that all day, and I don't want to focus on all the drama that's been going on. My mind is on him. No, I do not want to talk about it.
That's why you don't answer certain phone calls.
There you go, brother-in-law. Talk to that voicemail. One of the greatest things invented was voicemail. The person make it to hell when I get to hell, and I'm going to hug him. I'm going to say, boy, voicemail, well, you awesome dude. Or do that, whatever it is. I'm creating voicemail. Talk to the voicemail with that negativity. I'll call you 2 days later. So you have to do that at times. And Lord knows, you know, Lana here, I adore my baby girl. But at times when she want to just spend time with daddy, I'd be like, baby, we ain't on the same page right now. Daddy just want to be in perfect peace right now. You want to come in with all your little stuff that's going on through the day and all that. I don't want to hear that. I don't care what your day was like right now. Let's just both rest our mind and relax. Learn how to relax. Quit bringing your job home. Daddy, they did this and they did. I don't want to hear it, baby. Ooh, you so mean. You call it what you want to, but my mind is peaceful right now. Bye. Now you know, baby. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to keep my mind peaceful. Last thing in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. There's a time and a place for everything. There are times when y'all know you can come to me. I'll sit down and listen and address things and advise and things like that. There's a time and a place for everything. But there's a time when you need to be peaceful. You know, I had a close friend that called me and you know, and go in detail. I get talking too much, you know, though. But I just want to use an example. He had informed me that he woke up three separate times because he wasn't breathing. He said, "I knew I wasn't breathing, and it woke me up." He said, and I woke up and I was trying to catch my breath. He said, I actually had stopped breathing three times when I was asleep. He said, what you think that is? You know, and the light hadn't turned on. I was like, I don't know what that is. I asked me some questions. I ain't no expert. Then all of a sudden the light turned on. I said, here's what it is. I said, you've been ripping and running so much. You're doing so many things that your body is malfunctioning. You're breaking down because you're doing more than what you need to. And the way that that works is your brain communicates with your body to you know, for it to breathe. Even when you're sleeping, the brain never sleeps and it's communicating with your body. That's why when you go to sleep, how many of you are going to sleep on your arm? And all of a sudden you lay on there, all the blood circulation leave out of the arm. And your brain said, wake up, shake that arm, get that blood back in there. Wake up, you be waking up, you be like, oh Lord, I can't feel my arm, but just be dangling. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Your arm just be dangling because you ain't got no blood in it, you ain't got no feeling in it. The arm be dangling, but the brain be like, get them up, because if they don't, they're going to sleep too long on the arm, and they're going to lose their arm because there ain't no blood circulation in it for a long time. So the brain is constantly communicating with it, but once the mind get tired, it can't communicate with itself right. So the body be like, I'm leaving. Brain gone. I ain't got no, I'm going to hurt down here. Since the mind is always working, I'm going to make your corn hurt. And since your corn hurt, you're going to have to lay down now because that corn aching. And when the mind get enough rest, then the corn going to stop aching. My old knee been bothering me for the past 3 weeks, man, because I've been ripping and running too much. So y'all was like, I know how to get you to sit down. Yeah, kind of cut back on my running and all that, man. And y'all said, you just need to lay down and rest a while, boy. You going too much. I've caught up with my rest. Now my body lining up. Knee ain't bothering me anymore. Like all this time, man. So understand these things as we get ready to close, okay? Elder, you had anything? I know I was running my mouth a lot. So yeah. All right, y'all got this? Y'all understand it? So remember that now. Again, Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Whatever's going on, keep your trust in Yah, and I guarantee you, you'll stay peaceful. Your mind will stay whole and your body will line up with it. Because the mind is on Yah. And it makes the physical body line up and do the same thing. It happened to all of us. Okay? I've done it a lot of time. I've done too much. Taking on too much things. Got my mind working. And doing all these things. Yah said, okay, just relax a little bit. Give you a little time. Take you a few hours and relax. Don't mean I got to take a month off now. You know, Yah said, just relax a while. Get yourself together. Y'all know. Y'all know when you've gotten some rest. Somebody said, man, how do I know when I get enough rest? When you wake up on your own. You know, we're so programmed to be awakened, we don't realize that we're tired because the alarm clock is what wakes us up. But how many of you have had opportunities, or if you remember having an opportunity when you was able to lay down and nobody wake you up but you? Man, that's the best sleep in the world when you can wake up on your own. But when something is always having to wake, awaken you, then you're not getting enough rest, and your body's gonna start breaking down. So that's my gauge. Let me know that I'm doing too much. When I start having to sit things to wake me up at certain things, at certain times, on a consistent basis, then I know you're not resting enough. Long you're not resting enough. Because when I was, when I was getting the rest like I should, I could, and some of y'all, what I'm about to say, some of y'all can admit the same thing, if you be honest. How many of you need to get up? How many of you at one time or another have needed to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and you woke up at 7 o'clock on the dot? It's because your body's rested and it's in tune with what you got to do. But when you sit, when you know you got to get up at 7 and you got to set an alarm to do it, it's because your body is tired. And it's out of whack. It's not in tune with itself. So the mind has to, the mind can't tell the body we getting up at 7. And it put it in all your memory. All throughout your body. And when you lay there, your body says, 7 o'clock, get up. And you wake up and look up there at the clock, it's 7 o'clock. A little bit before. It's because your body is in tune the way it's supposed to be. But when it gets out of tune, everybody waking up from an alarm clock, you even worse now. Everybody know me will tell you I hate to be awakened. Because I be like, I'm on your time now, man. You woke me up. Now I'm looking crazy. Feel like somebody just beat me up now. My whole day messed up. Okay. All right. That's all I have. Father, y'all, we just bless you and we thank you for just giving us the wisdom to know that there are a lot of things that that we're coming into understanding of in reference to how you created us. And we appreciate you for enlightening us. And we just thank you for the understanding that our mind is vitally important to not only be in tune with you, but to be in tune with our physical bodies. And we just bless you for that. And we know that once our mind get healthy, it causes us to heal in every facet of our bodies. And we just bless you for that. Whatever the body needs, the mind can heal it. The mind can get you wherever you need, as far as your physical body is concerned. And we bless you for that, y'all. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.